This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi there, welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, fat guys smashing bellies, and super uninteresting dad life commentary, plus an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty, MLS.
And the podcast soccer. Funded by guns.
Woo! We are your hosts from Mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at Lumen Field. He's sexy skanking Brandon.
Oh, I was just so tempted.
Pick it up.
I'm recording in my bedroom today because my house is falling apart. Not really, but I was so tempted just to stand up and start skanking.
Like last time?
Yeah, just like last time.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
If they did allow 69 stars, though, you know what we'd be asking for,
if
right?
If they did allow 69 stars. It's like, everybody's like, on a scale of like 1 to 100, I'm like, okay. But if you get like a 0 out of 100 or a 1 out of 100, is that worse than a 1 out of 10? You know? So like if you get a 1 star out of 69?
Statistically, yes.
Yeah, no, I know. But like that's why I'm like, hey, maybe if we ranked this out of 69, we shouldn't ask people to do that.
On a scale of 0 to 69, where 5 is the max. But primarily, leave us a comment, which we forgot to check this week. At least I didn't check.
I didn't either.
Okay, great. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from Emmanuel Cecchini to Leo Chu.
Can we rename him to who?
Who? Leo who?
Leo who?
Yeah.
Let's call him Chu who.
Yeah. There you go. Who Chu.
He's definitely still a Sounders player, right?
He is still a Sounders player in the way that Hanwala Bwana still plays for Nashville SC, in that I have no idea.
This week it's the put him up against the wall and glue him Sounders FC taking on the apparently Dax McCarthy still played. It's McCarty, I realize.
McCarty. No, Rush is relevant again, so it's Dax McCarthy.
Still plays soccer, Nashville Soccer Club. It's the Hanwala Bwana's Hot Tub and Saunas Memorial Derby. For anyone who's been listening since like season 2 or 3-ish.
Yeah. I can't believe we've been doing this for five seasons. Man, our 69th season is going to be legit.
Full90podcast.com for all of our links, including to our only not fans.
As we were just discussing before we started recording today, full90podcast.com or majorleaguesoccer.com.
Thank you. Speaking of .coms and headlines and whatnot, I want to just go back. I know the Olympics are over, but this was truly a horrifying headline that seemed like it fit in precisely into Full 90 Soccer Time, meaning that it has nothing to do with sports and talks about wieners. So here we are. Or with soccer. It has to do with
sumo
sports,
sumo wieners?
I can only imagine what those things look like.
We've talked a lot about whale penises, but
that's on our other show, though. That's on Nerd Talk.
That's true.
This is a headline from Reuters.com. Cross-country skiing Finn Rami suffers frozen penis in mass start race.
First of all, congrats on the mass start.
The men's 50K mass start race at the Beijing Games in Zhangjiakou was shortened to 30 kilometers, but that did little to help Finland's Remy Lindholm, who needed a heat pack at the end of the race to thaw out a particularly sensitive body part. He spent just under an hour and 16 minutes, it doesn't even seem like that much, traversing the course in howling freezing winds, leading to his penis becoming frozen for the second time in a cross-country skiing race following a similar incident in Ruka, Finland last year.
It's just like, you're the only guy out there with your penis freezing. Like, what are the Finns doing?
Put that on his gravestone. Oh, freezing penis over here.
Freeze me once, shame on me. Freeze me twice, still shame on me. Like, why have I not fixed the thing? Like, don't you think, like, in any other sport, you go back to the drawing board after you suffer some, like, humiliating defeat, or in this case, a frozen penis.
You go same.
Yeah. You go back to the drawing board and you think, like, okay, all right, the Sounders get, you know, trounced by somebody 7-0, which hasn't happened, thankfully. But the Sounders get absolutely trounced. They go back to the drawing board. How do we make sure that that never happens again? Now imagine, instead of losing 7-0, all of the players' penises froze. You think that they would go back to their trainer and say, hey, what do we do to make sure that never happens again?
It's like that game in Denver all those years ago.
And it's like that game that the U.S. men's national team played like a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a month ago at this point, that I didn't hear about any freezing penises. A freeness.
Or a fro-pee.
A fro-pee. Hey, actually, that's what I call frozen pizza. So...
I feel like if you're going to put out the red ball, you're going to get blue balls.
How does this happen? Like, you're the only person in a cross-country skiing race that, like, an event that has been happening in the Winter Olympics forever, since the Winter Olympics started.
Yeah, back in the Olympic Mountains of ancient Greece, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe that's what Hades was just like, frozen penis, frozen penis, I like to picture him doing finger guns at people's dicks and just them freezing off.
Well, then the freeze ray sound effect is also essential.
I have brain freeze, not that one. How do you fix that, right?
Well,
like,
I've got a couple questions.
We all do.
One is, what is the doctor inspected with when that happens? Is it a fleshlight?
That's how you warm it up.
And my second question has to deal with that. Is that the ultimate excuse to be like, hello, person whose I have access to?
That isn't your own.
Well,
yeah. There's a
maybe that's the unanswered portion of the thing. Maybe he was, let's just say, a little slobbery before he started, and that's why he has a frozen.
Gross. So I distinctly remember.
Where's this going?
So I have a story about my dad. I am okay. So I'm the oldest of four, and when my parents decided that four was too many, or enough, I shouldn't say too many, but definitely too many. When they decided that four was too many, my dad went and got the old snip. Right. Shout outs to my brothers.
I thought you said sniff. Like,
yeah.
All right.
My dad got really into cocaine.
It doesn't work anymore. So we're safe.
Yeah. So my dad went and got, you know, vasectomy. And I distinctly remember, like, he came home and was sitting in his chair, and, like, instead of using, like, an ice pack or any of the things that they tell you that you should use to reduce swelling, he just had, like, a frozen bag of peas that he was holding against his balls for, you know, a couple of days. And, you know, when they lost their virality, he throw it back in the freezer, bring it back out, and it's like this bag of peas that I hope we never ate, but I cannot confirm that never happened. So I just wonder, in the reverse order in Finland, do you like cook a bunch of peas and then put them in a bag and put them on your dick? Or like maybe it's in cycling where it's like, hey, it's an endurance race, right? They're out there for an hour and whatever. You can't stop and pee. So maybe it's like, maybe he peed his pants. And like at that point, it was just too, like, the wind chill on his urine.
You ever seen someone who has a little bit of skin damage from frostbite?
No, actually, I haven't.
It's not pretty.
I can't imagine. So. Oh, man, poor guy.
Yeah, looks like his wiener's been in a fist fight.
Well, it's look, this story has so many threads, right? They don't say that he has a frostbitten penis, right?
Right.
They say he's got a frozen penis.
My bad.
So, like, no biting. Is there like a medical difference between having something frozen? Like, maybe it's been cryogenically frozen for future generations. This dick is needed for the future.
I just want to see if we like see pictures of him out doing the competition, if he just had an erection the whole time and so the blood froze in the inside. And that, I mean, you make a great point that the language here is very specific, and I need to know
and
more.
It's not like Deadspin didn't write this. I'm sure that they've done something on this, but it's not like Deadspin wrote this. It's from Reuters, which is like a respected news outlet. So it's they've said it's a frozen penis for a reason.
When the body parts started to warm up after the finish, the pain was unbearable, he added.
Oh, great. I can't imagine.
That sounds...
I like how they say, when the body parts started to warm up after the finish. They should have said, when the finished body part started to warm up after the finish.
Wait, so what's this event called? Mass Start Race? I wonder who won it.
Oh, even if he did, he lost.
You put your metal into like some hot water and then put that on your wiener to unfreeze it.
Oh my gosh! And I wonder
which metal conducts energy the best for reheating your penis.
Going to Google right now. I just wonder, like,
safe search off.
Have you ever done that thing where
no,
like we make a lot of soup at home, and what will. And what we'll do is we'll put it in like a very, very large mason jar, and then we'll stick it in the freezer. When you de-thaw that, you have to be really careful, because if you put it under hot water, when you get that like temperature shock between like that glass being frozen to then being extra hot, it'll just absolutely break. And then you worry about getting glass shards in your frozen soup, and you basically got to throw the whole thing out. I've done that a couple of times. My wife gets very mad at me every single time. Mm. Now, I wonder if you also have to, like, warm up your penis slowly for concerns that, like, something will happen. I don't know. Does it break? I've heard that fractured penis is the number one.
Doctor, we have another shattered penis.
Oh, gosh. It's not even a bone. How did you do that?
Let me explain. In other old news, this is something that I had no idea about until recently. You know who Knew Who is?
Yeah, I know who Knew Who is.
You know how, like, when he started, it was, like, hilarious because he was, like, wild and, you know, whatever. It was just, like, he was kind of a novelty.
Yeah.
Well, he started being pretty good, and he looks like he has a future outside of America, probably. And we talk about it all the time, that he called up to us, you know, second division French squad, which is probably about the equivalent of a squad here or whatever. But as a French speaker, he'd probably like that. I didn't realize that Knew Who, the $65,000 man, originally.
Yeah.
And the right winger for Arsenal, Pepe, both played on the Cameroonian squad at AFCON. Pepe makes something like $300,000 a week.
Yeah.
He makes like the equivalent of like 5 Knew Who's per week.
Yeah.
And those two guys are on the same field at the same time playing for the same glory. It really blows my mind.
Yeah, both of those guys ended up third in AFCON. Only one of them got international acclaim for defending Mohamed Salah throughout an entire match while still losing that match. Did Pepe end up taking a penalty kick in that match?
I don't know, but he definitely did not end up taking down Mo Salah.
Yeah. Pepe is making like 5 Knew Who's, not adjusted for Knew Whoflation either, because like Knew Whoflation has one Knew Who costing something like, I don't know, 3 Knew Who's these days.
I think he's on 2.5 Knew Who's right now.
Yeah.
Like, what was he like? He was like just over 100 and something?
It was literally 65,000 when he was, I think when he came through S2 mm-hmm. and signed his first like big league contract. And then, I don't know, where's Aaron the math man? We need this guy to get on, to get on that.
I'm looking up Pepe's Arsenal salary. Yeah, so Nicolas Pepe makes £7 million per year. So what's that divided by?
Oh, I don't even know how much Knew Who weighs. You gotta like.
I'm sorry, how much he weighs?
Yeah, because I mean, if he's making £7 million, oh my gosh, what is this? Sounders FC salaries from Soccer Prime. This has to be out of date because this has Knew Who on 85,000 a year.
Yeah, that's out of date.
That's got to be out of date.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So wait, hold on. That's, let me make sure I got that right.
Oh, he's making $170,000 a year.
What? He's making almost three New Who's.
He's, yeah, so New Who is on almost three New Who's and about one half of one Pepe per week. Well, sorry, one half of one weekly Pepe.
No, no, no. Pepe makes 138,000 pounds. Yeah, so about, let's call it 175. Yeah, he probably makes a New Who a week.
Yeah.
Is Pepe. Wow. What a life.
Now he's imagine sharing a locker room. Like, I mean, it's one thing to be New Who in the Sounders locker room where you've got, like, Ladero, Rui Diaz, and Rusnak making over a couple of million dollars, and you're over there making three New Who's a year.
Yeah, but you've also got Obed Vargas making one New Who, so
exactly.
It's like...
Yeah, but okay. But do you know how what I would have done as a 16-year-old making one New Who per year?
I mean, what wouldn't you have done?
Exactly.
You would have had so much Fun Dip, it would have been awesome.
You know what? I'd go for Fun Dip right now, so who am I to say at 16 I wasn't going to be into that?
Absolutely.
Do you want to know...
Anyway, I find that crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Do you want to know a fun fact that I learned... this week related to the Sounders? I was just looking it up earlier because when you go to the Sounders Wikipedia page, because I was looking, there's so much, and maybe we can get into this in a little bit, but there's so much talk ever since the Sounders announced that they are going to do the new training facility at Longacres, that there was this buzz around a new brand. Now, I feel like the Sounders were probably like, oh, crap, like whatever we said, it got picked up and turned into now every fan and their mom and James Woolard are making a bunch of like fan-made crests. Hey, I've done it too. I'm not like disparaging this because it's really fun to think about what the next iteration of the Sounders visual identity might be.
But they sure... pulled the lid off that can of worms.
Oh, exactly. And I don't know if you had the
same worms that ate Gluey.
I don't know. Oh, man. R.I.P. Gluey. In peace.
No, he's undead. He's back, dude. It's cool.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Night of the Living Gluey. And, oh, man. We came up with a lot of new names for Gluey as well. My favorite one, still keeping it Seattle related, Glue Pinella. So I go to the Sounders Wikipedia page. I was looking at a bunch of historical information about the Sounders and ended up on their Wikipedia page where it lists not only the Sounders roster, but also the current roster, but also the list of current Sounders owners. Currently, there are 31 owners of the Seattle Sounders, including all of the minority owners and Adrian Hanauer, who's I think still the majority owner. There are 31 owners of the Sounders, and there are like 27 or 28 rostered players.
Each one gets their own owner to tell them what to do.
Exactly, it's kind of how it feels. It's like Get Out.
Rui Diaz has the, you know, Russell Wilson is the and Ciara are like the, but then New Who's got like the guy that also is invested in that new Dick's in Bellevue. Yeah.
It's like all they're all like Pokemon trainers. Or like they each get their own Tamagotchi Sounder.
I forgot to feed him.
Oh no, who's got Roman Torres? Hopefully that's the richest person on the team. I forgot to feed Roman. Roman angry. Roman is Snorlax. Forgot to play defense again. Oh, I like, maybe, okay, we don't do it on this show, but on our other show we do every week. We say, tell us, we have a question of the week where we ask you to respond to this week's question of the week. This week's question of the week is, which Sounder is which Pokemon?
Oh, yeah, let's have it. Oh, man, hit us at Full90Podcast on Twitter is the easiest way.
Yeah.
Go to Full90Podcast.com for all our links to all the stuff. But I would love to know, have people compare Pokemon to Sounders players. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Because
you can even leave that as a comment if you leave a comment reviewing and rating the show, that'd be awesome too. We'd love that.
Because I am genuinely curious because I haven't put any thought into this yet, but I definitely feel like Raul Rui Diaz is Machop for sure.
Okay.
The guy, remember when he did that handball goal that he definitely didn't get away with?
Okay.
Yeah.
We already have Snorlax, so.
Yeah, we already got Snorlax. Which former Sounder is which former Pokemon?
It could be past or present. It's okay. You can step out. That's fine. We'd love to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so we saw the Sounders in action, and obviously the most important part about seeing that team play in the Cup of CONCACAF. Thank you.
Nailed
is
it.
The most important aspect of seeing him play in the Cup of CONCACAF Cup.
There you go.
Is what'd you think of the new Rave Green jerseys? Forever Dude. Green, is that what it's called?
Legacy Green.
Legacy Green, yeah.
I feel like we had a disagreement, I think, last week when we talked about this, because when I first saw the design of the kit, like the mock-up of the kit before it was officially released, I was like, that looks not great at all. And then they did the official release with the photo shoot with all the players wearing it. And I was like, oh, actually that looks a lot better than I had anticipated, which often will happen. It will either look awesome on paper and then not great in real life or vice versa. Right.
I thought you get a professional photographer to take photos of it. You get Jane in there taking photos and it suddenly looks great. What do you know?
Well, and then, so I think that was, I think that this time around, because I disagreed with, because you went and got the kit when you were down at the Long Acres thing, and I was like, you know what? Like, I disagree. I think it looks awesome. I think it looks on people when actually wearing the kit. I think it looks awesome. Watching that match, and I don't know if it's because everybody was drenched in sweat playing in Honduras, I thought the kits looked terrible. I mean, like, from a distance, you can hardly tell that there's any pattern at all on the kit, and so, like, you're doing all of this different creative whatever on the kit, and like, this is such, like, the game was played to a 0-0 draw, nobody scored, blah blah blah.
No, I said we were going to talk about the important part, Brandon. And that's what people look like.
Obed Vargas looked great, whatever. the kit itself, though, I was like, if you're going to do a design, if you're going to do something crazy and cool, like, end up with something like the Jimi Hendrix kit, where it's obvious that it's awesome from however far away you are looking at it, right? But if you're going to do something like this pattern on the front, and it's going to be new, and it's going to be distinct, and it's going to be unique across the league, you can't hardly tell that it's any different than the last Rave Green kit that the team had when you're watching from at least the television broadcast. So in my opinion, like, I haven't bought it yet. I'm not sure if I'm going to. I might do it just because I like to have every iteration of the Sounders kit.
Same.
So I might just do it for that reason, but it will be for that reason. It won't be because I want it so I can wear it around. I'd still much prefer to wear my Jimi Hendrix kit, or, to be honest, even my grandma's drapes in Florida kit.
Which one is that?
That's the one, the watermelon kit, or the one that looks like, or no, it's the one that looks permanently sweat stained.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that kit even, and I would almost prefer to go wear that than the blue check one.
Well, I'm gonna give it a wear and see what I think of it, because I bought one and it's fine. I was so excited when I saw the mock-ups and the presentation and the marketing for it. And then when I see it in person, it just reminds me of, like, it's kind of a step back for Adidas. I think this is Adidas' fault, not Seattle's.
Mm-hmm. It usually is.
Where it looks kind of like a throwback to a league where there's, like, super highly paid people running around, and everyone in the stands is ultra poor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's like a huge disparity there. Yeah. I don't know what it is about it that makes me think that checker system, and then, like, trying to make it look modern or whatever.
I was really hoping almost all of the mock-ups, like, once it came out that, like, there was a slight leak that there was going to be a checkered pattern on it, during some of the promotional shoots, like, everybody realized, okay, there's going to be checkered. So a ton of fan mock-ups came out, right? We are responsible for probably half of them. but a ton of mock-ups come out. And honestly, there were so many mock-ups that made the checkered pattern much more square rather than more diamond. And they were much larger. They took up a bigger portion of the kit itself, that I was like, look, if you're going to lean into this, like, this pattern, go all Croatia on it, right? Like, if somebody's going to own that pattern, and it's not going to be Columbus Crew, because they're the ones traditionally in this league who have worn that, like, black and yellow kind of checkered pattern, and they even had it in their old crest, but they've,
like, since Atlanta's five stripes and everything.
Exactly. So if somebody's going to come in and own that pattern in MLS the way that other teams are trying to, like, own the either the vertical stripes or the hoops, for instance, come in and like really own it, like make it the thing. Now, I think that the Sounders with their current colors are the team to do that? Not at all, because I think that green, the rave green and the Sounder blue next to each other in that kind of pattern can be a lot. But if they had done something a little bit more, I don't know, less subtle almost than what they ended up with, I think that those kits could have been instantly iconic. And there were many of the fan mock-ups that I would probably be really interested in buying for their style alone, more than what they ended up with.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a roller coaster for me. I started being like, wow, that looks awesome. And I saw it in person. I was like, that's not so great. And then I put it on. I'm like, I look back at a picture. I'm like, that's not so bad. And then I see it on TV and I'm like, it's not so great.
I have a question for you. You have the kit and you've owned kits in the past. Did you get the authentic or did you get the replica?
I'm an a-hole and I spent the money to buy the...
Yeah, me too. Totally too. You being an a-hole. Me too.
Yeah, for sure. I get it. Thanks.
I've seen some things from multiple different fans at this point who have bought the kit that it seems like usually when you buy the authentic, you almost have to buy a size up because the way that an authentic fits a fit person who plays soccer is different than how it fits a me, right? And so if I buy, usually if I buy the authentic kit, I get a size up or I just am willing to feel very large in a smaller shirt. Now, I've seen a few different reports of fans saying that this year's authentic seems to actually be running a lot bigger, so you could almost buy to your natural size. Do you feel like that with your kit?
So I'm sorry to not answer directly because I hate when people do that, but I'm super tall, and so this plays really differently for me. Like, these shirts tend to run really short. Adidas, a European company, is not giving me the length I need. The girth they've got this time, but the length
they need to talk to that Finnish guy.
So for me,
maybe you just need to be frozen.
You mean old Freezy Wiener over there?
It's but yeah, ice to meet you.
It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger too somehow.
Yeah, because he, you know, Dr. Freeze.
Anyway. Yeah, for me, I want to be able to wear a long sleeve shirt under it. And so when I put it on, when I got home, I just went, I didn't even try it on at the place. I just put it on, I just grabbed the XL and went home and was like, that's that. I need it for it to be lengthy enough. I need the XL anyway. And so I was going to get it no matter what. And I was kind of surprised that it is a lot swimmier. But I want that because I want to be able to wear something warmer underneath it for those like questionable days where you're like, it's almost warm enough. I could take my coat off for a while.
And they don't even make the long sleeve kits anymore. I remember that controversy from 3 years ago that nobody talks about anymore because it actually doesn't matter.
That's amazing. So yeah, it does run bigger for anyone that's considering buying it, but I don't think it's like alarmingly bigger. I think it's just comfortably bigger, which is cool.
See, I run that weird between a medium and a large, where typically if I'm going to buy the authentic kit, I have to go with the large but now it's if I order it online, because there's no pro shop in Spokane, there's hardly anywhere to go to buy a kit in Spokane.
Guns though.
Guns just fall out of the walls.
If anyone wants to know what that is, I'll actually post the full the Nerd Talk podcast. You can hear it, the full Nerd Talk Plus on the Nerd Talk feed.
Yeah, the TLDL is I found a gun in my wall.
The actual TLDL is that someone else found a gun in his wall, even weirder.
Yeah, honestly, the whole story is too long. Didn't listen. So that's like one of those positions that I'm in is like, do I go with the large knowing that they're running bigger, or do I hope that the medium's going to fit me?
Okay, well, it seems like impossible, but here we are. We're ready to talk about the 2022 regular Sounders MLS season kicking off.
Are we sure that there's not like a spring basho that we need to review before we get into
that
this?
Actually starts in 2 weeks. I could talk about I just finished looking over the stats for the first day of Formula One testing.
Okay.
And if it's anything to go by, you know that Red Bull and Mercedes are sandbagging a bit because they don't want to show off their true potential. And everyone's saying that the Alpine Renault is going a little slow too. But there it is at the top of the timesheets. The two teams I want to see awesome this year, McLaren and Ferrari. That duo of Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc, I can't think of a better group of teammates on a team. The Ferrari looks badass. From a design standpoint, you being a guy with an eye for design, like, the new cars are sleek and really beautiful, and some teams have really gotten it right.
It's the only reason I want to get into F1, because I love the design of the cars, and I love looking back, and we need to talk about this much more at length, because I love the...
But not at girth.
Not at girth. Sorry, Froppy. I love the aesthetic of, like, 1980s and 1970s F1 cars and racing, and like the get up for the drivers and everybody. Anyway, so
that's so funny, because I'm like such an older, I like the older stuff before all the wings and I like that, like, very classic cigar tube car
era.
Where they're like, those guys, like, definitely several people a year died because they were so unsafe.
Sure.
That's not the part I like. I just love how beautiful and monstrous those machines were, and how it was like, good luck. You really are, those narrow ass tires that were like basically useless. Like, I hearken back to that. The 70s were awesome stylistically, I think, regardless. I love, like, long feathered hair on drivers and stuff like that. That's funny. So.
I can't see the track. My gold chains are in my eyes. But at least my penis isn't frozen.
But he's, like, smoking a cigarette and then throws it out. Puts down his goggles and goes. It's, like, so hilarious, dude.
It's sweet. It's
because we're badass. Yeah. Because you knew that, like, chances are, it wasn't unlikely that you were going to die that day. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, the new F1 cars are awesome. So anyway, there's your F1 roundup for day one of preseason testing.
So, I mean, I feel like we as the podcast occupy a very niche space of people who are into sumo, F1, guns coming out of walls, and
to be fair, no one is into sumo. We get plenty of tweets about how no one gives a shit.
Too much
shut up.
Sumo. Yeah. Who's your favorite sumo wrestler?
Yet I persist.
obviously, Snorlax. but yeah, the MLS season. The Sounders obviously have already played Matagua, however you say it. I really should learn how to say it. It seems insensitive not to. But the Sounders will play again. But the MLS season, the season that the Sounders are already being picked to perform really well in, is starting on Sunday. And does it feel like there's been an off season? Feels like it's been a long time since the Sounders have played competitive soccer. I feel like I'm not ready for it.
It's weird to think that it's 21 degrees out today when I woke up, and that on Sunday people are going to be packing into Lumen Field, where it won't be cold by then. It'll just be rainy and dark and just gross.
Awesome.
And so Seattle-y. And I'm just not ready. I don't have my... perspective isn't there yet, or whatever.
I feel like mental preparedness. Like, I'm not quite there. Not that I need to be physically prepared for the season to start. But, like, I mean, look, I had a kid in the off season. I'm excited for him to be able to, like, at least stare at a screen. I've heard there's so many opinions about how you're not supposed to have your kid stare at a TV screen. I'm like, the kid can't see more than 18 inches in front of him anyway, so who cares? But anyway, I'm so excited to, like, put him in his little Sounders onesie that I have for him and, like, sit down for his first ever Sounders match. But at the same time, it's like, we saw this in the match that they played, the Champions League match that they played in Honduras. It looks like the players themselves aren't even ready for the season to start. They're like passing the ball to nobody. And, the 16-year-old on our team was the best player on the pitch by far. So
I got real scared. I saw an email come out saying that today there was going to be a press conference with, Brian Schmetzer and Stefan Fry.
Oh,
and I was like, are we about to get some? Are we going to get breaking news while we're podcasting? And then I thought about it. I was like, no, they just make a player, and he's one of the captains, and the coach available before the big Champions League game and the kickoff of the season.
Brian Schmetzer buys new piece of art for his home from Stefan Fry.
Here it is. Here's the unveiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it, and then I start thinking about, like, I should be more informed about, I don't even know what I'm excited about with it, other than, like, I see MLS soccer.com saying that Sounders are number two in the power rankings going into the season, and that we didn't get Dom Dwyer, so that's, like, two really good things.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, speaking of players that I hate, I got a spam phone call that I answered because it came from an area code that I was expecting a phone. Anyway, I answered the phone. I'm just trying to like, I'm not an idiot. So I answer this phone call and it's a recording, but it's like, hello. And I'm like, hello, this is Brandon. And they're like, hi, this is Will Johnson with insurance services. And I was like, no, delete, hang up immediately.
Now fill in the context, Brandon.
Will Johnson, former captain of the Fartland Timberwolves and absolute whiny baby Caleb Porter protege. Who knows what he's doing nowadays?
It'd be awesome if he was the man nanny for Caleb Porter. NYCFC takes the top spot in the power rankings going into it, which is good that they're in the other conference or whatever, because then we only see them once this season, and that's better off.
I mean,
Maxi Morales,
majorly, they're the cup holders going into the new year.
Oh, did they win?
Yeah, they did. I know exactly. Like, who cares, right?
In Portland,
right? So New York City Football Club, the retaining champions from the previous season. Again, it's like one of those things that last season felt so weird, still like lingering kind of COVID energy in the, like, I mean, we talk about last, I've hardly looked at the schedule for this season, but in the last season that the Sounders played, it kind of goes unnoticed that if you don't recall, most of the games were played against Western Conference opposition, where you would typically still play a heavier Western Conference opposition throughout the season, but still play a variety of games on the road in Eastern Conference against the Eastern Conference and host a few Eastern Conference teams. But the Sounders didn't face hardly any Eastern Conference teams in the last season. And so going into this new season, when COVID at least is less of a apparent issue.
When we're all over COVID.
Sure, yeah. Regardless of whether COVID is over us, we are over COVID. And so the Sounders are likely going to be facing some new opposition this year, some teams, some players that they haven't seen yet.
Well, for instance, on the road in Miami this year. That's,
Against DeAndre Yedlin, against Damian Lowe, a few other former Sounders on that team, Chris Henderson, former technical director down there, being their sporting director now. So I don't know. I mean, look, we should be stoked about the way that the Sounders are being previewed for the new season. Albert Rusnak in the club now. You've got a couple new signings across the team and just retained a healthy Nico Ladero, a healthy Jordan Morris. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I just wasn't sure how much time you had, so I was just trying to like pump through stuff.
Well, it's interesting that NYCFC gets the number one nod despite like having won the MLS Cup. The New England Revolution were by far the best team by like 20 points last year. It was like they had like a 13-point advantage over anyone else. The Western Conference was stronger at the top, more balanced between Colorado, Seattle, and some other squads. Revolution only number three going into it. Number four is the Union. My point that I'm trying to get at, Nashville is number five. That's a good opening matchup then, 2 versus 5. My point is that all of these teams are East Coast teams, it seems like. And so are we going to see a weakened Western Conference? Rapids at 6, the Timberwolves at 7.
It's hard to say because it's funny because you notice that the Revolution are at third, right? They're placed third in the power rankings, and I think that that's primarily because they signed Josie Altidore instead of being the reigning Supporter Shield champions in that first place. They're like, but they have Josie now, so bump them down a couple spots.
It's like when your bike your bike brake gets it won't let go, kind of. It just slows you down a little bit.
You get a little disc rub on there, a little brake
Thank
rub.
You.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because first of all, power rankings are trash.
Garbage.
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 I think second of all, we talked about this last season, New England Revolution get the benefit of playing against some of those Eastern Conference teams that were just absolute trash last year,
garbage,
3-4 times throughout the season because of that imbalanced kind of conference-heavy schedule where you're playing a bunch of teams in your own conference. Like, yeah, if you got to play the crappy Inter-Miami 3-4 times a season, or even, I mean, like some of the strong teams in the Eastern Conference, traditionally strong teams in the Eastern Conference, were trash last year. Atlanta played pretty terrible. Orlando, well, anyway. So just to say that, like, maybe they're, I don't know why the Western Conference outside of Seattle are being devalued so much into going into the new season, but I don't know. I feel like when we see this out, like last season when the Sounders were supposed to be in a rebuilding year, ended up not losing for 13 games straight and setting an unbeaten run record in Major League Soccer. So going in at number two, nice. Who knows how they'll actually perform, because preseason rankings are just that, preseason. They haven't played any MLS competition, and the preseason games are nothing to go by either, because you only play a few of them and you're only playing like half of your starters.
All right, well, taking a look into your crystal Pepsi ball for Sunday's matchup, 5 p.m. Seattle Sounders FC welcome Nashville to Lumen Field. Gosh, it's hard to say, but what do you see as the result of this first match, dude?
It's hard to say because I've seen nothing of Nashville. All I know about
as
them,
if we would know anyway.
Yeah. Look, I think I'm excited to see the Sounders play. I mean, I'm glad that they have two Champions League matches to get Albert Rusnak, Nico Ladero, Jordan Morris, and Raul Ruiz Diaz all vibing together. You know, mm-hmm. It's super exciting to have seen Obed Vargas play as well as he did in that first Champions League match. So do I expect them to come out firing on all cylinders? Rusnak's only had a few months, or you know, a month, or maybe the better part of 2 months to gel with this team. Ladero is still coming back to health. Same with Jordan Morris. Like, they didn't even have a full season last season to play together. So I have a lot of expectations for the Sounders this year, but I expect them to start pretty slow. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is another look. I think the Sounders are going to have trouble in attack in the first couple three matches.
What's the score?
I'm trying to answer without answering. I think 0-0. I think the Sounders defense is going to be able to hold, but I think that the Troubles are going to have a hard time in attack until these guys have a few more games under their belts together.
I will also be bleak and non-optimistic, but I think we're going to see a 1-1 draw, but I think there's definitely going to be a Sounders red card.
Yes.
That's my parlay, okay?
Okay. Real question, though. Look at your crystal Pepsi ball. How many frozen penises?
In case this podcast was too long and you didn't listen, it's too long, didn't listen. Hey, Brandon, too long, didn't listen.
Why is your penis the only cold penis?
He's speaking to the guy, the Finnish guy, not me.
Yeah, no, not you. Not you. All right, Gregor, too long, didn't listen.
How do you unthaw that frozen penis?
Oh.
Okay, too long, didn't listen.
New Who is Mr. Mime.